want to turn this morning over in Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. What I feel that the Lord has laid on our heart for this service. Appreciate you being here today. Amen. Very familiar scripture to get to where we're going to today. Look at the one next to you and ask him, what are you following? We're all following something. Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, verse number 18. Jesus speaking here, and he says, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Excuse me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you, Father, for the time and the opportunity you've allowed us the privilege to be here today. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that everything that's said and done would be the center of your perfect will. God, that would find good ground. Father, you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Don't know what that is. Singing too much. I guess. Maybe y'all need to just keep testifying. Amen. Upon this rock I'll build my church, I think. Not the pastor, but the Lord Jesus talking here. It's a very familiar story that Jesus is talking, and he's asking the disciples, what is the word on the street? What is people saying out there? That who am I? And some of them begin to answer and say, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, and some say that you're Elijah, or, you know, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then Jesus looked at them and said something that he said to all of us in here this morning as well. Who do you say that I am? It does not matter what the pastor says that Jesus is, or your neighbor, or the one on the pew next to you. What matters this morning is, who do you say that Jesus Christ is in your life? Amen. Peter stepped forward and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but of my Father in heaven. Amen. And upon this rock, upon this kind of talk, upon this belief system, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. If we really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Most High God, amen, he said, I can do a work in your life. That's what he's saying here. I can build a church. That's what he's telling us. Upon this kind of belief system, a kind of talk or confession that Peter is talking here, Jesus said, I'll build a church. Amen. But this church must follow my instructions. That word build means architect. It also means house builder. In other words, architect, it's something that designs the building. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We have to allow him to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Not only as he has the design for what he wants the church to be, but he is the builder of the church. Amen. It is not me and you that makes decisions on what the church should be. It is not me that decides what message to preach. Amen. It is from God, because he knows what we need in here today. Amen. He knows spiritually what we're in need of. And I want to preach what God has instructed me every time I stand behind this pulpit here. Amen. Not that I've opened up some kind of book and preached behind something else. Amen. But he says that Jesus is talking, upon this rock I'll build my church. And if we allow him to build the church, or build our lives individually, or the church as a whole, he said, I'll build it in such a case that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Anything that comes through the gates of hell cannot overcome the church. Amen. If it will be built the way I want it to be built. But so often we build it the way we want to build it, and then we're not successful, and then we want to think that it's God's fault. No, 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 no. God's got a perfect plan if we'll do it the way He says do it. Amen? How many agrees with that? It means to, not to prevail against means not to overpower it. In other words, we've all heard the little story of the three pigs, right? You know, the little story. And one of them, the first one, what did he build the house out of? Straw. The next one, what was it? Wood, right? And then the next one was brick or stone, right? And it kind of goes along with the story of building the house on the sand. And when the storms came, what happened to it? Or the one that dug deep and built on the rock. Amen. How do you build your life? Do you build it in the Lord? Amen. It's important to follow the instructions and stay close behind the Lord. We're going to talk about this morning following the Lord and those that He told to follow Him. Amen. And those that follow Him, I found out a long time ago over in Georgia, there's a lot of briar patches over there. And whenever you're following someone through the field or through the woods, that you want to stay close behind them, because what they're doing, they're trampling down all the briars for you, and you can just walk along behind them very easily. And if you start to lag behind, those briars will begin to spring back up. And if you'll follow close behind the Lord, He's made a way for us, and it'll be an easy way. But we begin to lag behind, and the briars start popping back up, if you will. Amen? So we want to follow the Lord. Look at the one next to you and say, you got to follow the Lord. Amen. It's kind of like the old westerns we see in the wagon train, and all of a sudden you see one wagon start lagging behind all the other wagons. Well, who is going to get attacked? That one lagging behind, right? So we got to follow close behind the Lord. He said in Deuteronomy, the first chapter, verse 30, see, the Lord goes before us. He said, the Lord your God, which goeth before you, He shall fight for you. Amen. Exodus 23 and 28, it says, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before thee. Amen. What are the Hivites? Hivites are an encampment. Whenever the enemy would want to try to set an encampment to trap you in, he said, the hornet, if you'll follow me, I'll be like a hornet and I'll sting them that they can't set an entrapment against you. Amen. I'll go before you. If you'll follow me, I'll go before you. And you won't be entrapped by the little traps of this life, but I'll sting them and spring every one of them for you. Amen. That's what he's saying. He says, hornet means wasp. I'll sting them. It says, the Canaanites is a trafficker, something to humiliate you or to bring you down, if you will. I remember what the Bible says. They might come in one way, but they'll flee seven ways. Amen. He said, I'll stop them from trying to bring you down, those things that try to bring you down, if you will. It says, the Hittites are terrorist, if you will. Something that will make you afraid and try to make you get you down and get you prostrate, get you all the way down. He said, I'll go before you if you'll follow me and take care of all of these so nothing will ever get you down if we'll follow the Lord. Amen. So that's what we got to do is follow the Lord. Amen. That's what he's telling us. He said, if we'll follow him, he'll build a church that it not prevail, the gates of hell not prevail against it to overcome it. Many today want to do it their way and to go about it their way, but we must follow Christ. Amen. It says over in Matthew's gospel, the 4th chapter and verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, sons of thunder. And in a ship was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, my question is, I wonder how many other fishermen before he got to where Peter and these guys were at, Andrew and John and James, how many other people did Jesus stop by and say, follow me? And they made excuses. They didn't follow him. But they finally, he got here to Peter and John. I don't know. You'll have to ask him when he get there. I don't know. I have no way of proving that he went to others before or after. But my mind is just thinking about it, because I know that many times I have preached in the 22 years I've been preaching, almost 23 years, that I've preached messages, and I know that people has left the building lost. Amen. In other words, I've called on them to follow the Lord and they rejected. Now many has come and followed the Lord, but many has not. So my question was, how many people along the journey there did Jesus ask to follow before he finally got the 12 he was after or needed? Amen. It's not that he needed Peter or John any more than he needs you or me today. Amen. But you see, he found someone that would follow. That's why he says in 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, he said, "For the eyes of the Lord looking to and fro all over this earth," even here in Jedburgh, in Somerville, looking for someone to show himself strong on their behalf. He's just looking for someone that'll follow him. Amen. Doesn't matter who it is. Amen. Just someone that will do the job. He says in Matthew's gospel, the 9th chapter and verse 9. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Wow. Just think about your own life. The ones of you that are in the church and part of this church here, that somewhere down the road, the Lord came by your way. I remember, I got a picture. I can see the morning that the Lord came by my way. And he looked at me and he said, "Follow me." And I got up and I started following him. And I've been following him all this time, ever since. Amen. And you, and then how God directs our life and gets us together into a place, and he says, "I want to build me a church." And he takes and he picks you and you and you and you and you and me, and we get together and we begin to build a work for God. And he's building the church. It is not us that is building the church, but it's him building the church through us. Amen. All the glory goes to him. Amen. You know it and I know it. We're all following someone, something. Picked up Jacob Friday, and he wants to go to Chicken Donald's. Picked him up from school. And I said, "We got some sausage and rice. Gammy's got some sausage and rice at home. We go eat that sausage and rice." He said, "I'll go to Chicken Donald's." I know why he's going to go there. He wants to play on that playground stuff. So I said, "Okay. You know, grandpas can't say no." And so we go to Chicken Donald's. And we eat, and he goes in there, and he's in this little capsule in there. And this little girl come in there, and there was some more in there, but the little girl was up there about his same age, I guess. And Jacob says, "I already knew about this message. I already been studying on it a little bit." Jacob looked at her and said, "Come on, follow me." And he took off all through that stuff, you know. That little girl was right behind him, doing everything that he would do. She was doing it. "Follow me." And I wondered, how many people is following the wrong thing? There's a lot of people in this world that's following the wrong things. I mean, we're all following something. But my question is, the road or the way that you're on this morning, what's the end of it? Amen. I mean, even you know, and I tell you all the time, even if you're here and you're following this ministry, check us out. Check it out. Get the book. Dig in there. Check. Make sure I'm telling you the truth. I would be to God that every preacher at every church would tell their members, get in the book and make sure I'm telling you the truth. Don't just take what I'm telling you. Get in there. Because one of these days I may not be here. I know that I'm telling you the truth, but I don't want you to accept that as the truth. I want you to get in here and prove it. Amen. Because one of these days I may not be here and someone else might be here. And if you just take them and don't study it out, then they might can deceive you. And I don't want that. Amen. Who are you following? Look at the one next to you and ask them, who are you following? The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, know them that labor among you. Know them. Know their lives. My dad one time was, back when I was real young, I was probably in the fifth grade. I was about 18, I think. But No. I wasn't that old. But anyhow, he was kind of evangelizing, but he every once in a while he had friends, and he'd go there and sell a few cars or something. And the finance place or the bank told him, said, there's two groups of people try to avoid selling a car to. And said, who is that? He said, insurance salesmen. He's talking about that life insurance. He said, insurance salesmen and preachers. You know, my dad was a preacher. Because they got a reputation. Know them that labor among you. Amen. Know them. So we got to follow the Lord, right? Well, let's go a little further. Luke's Gospel, the 9th chapter, verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. Now he said the same thing to Peter and Andrew and Matthew and John and James. And he said, follow me. Follow me. Same thing. He said, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I mean, it was just an excuse. That's all it was. The Lord said, follow me. And the man said, but I got to do something first before I can follow you. I ask you this morning, what is it that you got to do that's more important than going to heaven? What is it that's more important than going to heaven? He said, and Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I mean, to have second thoughts whenever you get saved or start to follow the Lord and have even second thoughts about it. You're not fit to be in the kingdom of God. Because when time comes and temptation comes, you'll fall. God needs somebody with a made up mind. He said in Corinthians 8 and I think it's verse 12. He said, for first there must be a willing mind. Get your mind made up. Amen. If you get your mind made up, ain't nobody can talk you out of it. If you got your mind made up, come on. I know in here, every one of us in here is hard headed. Y'all talk about me being hard headed sometimes. Every one of us in here is stubborn about something. I guarantee you there's something you're stubborn about. And nobody could change your mind on that. Well, it ought to be about the Lord. Amen. That nobody can change your mind about it. Amen. Remember the story. I think y'all might have had it in Sunday school this morning. Rich young ruler. So I don't know how much y'all talked about it this morning, but here it goes again. I guess y'all just didn't get it good enough. Amen. I mean, here's Jesus, and he tells this young man, he says, keep the commandments. And he said, which commandments? So he began to name them, you know, thou shalt not murder, and, you know, shall not steal and lie, and, you know, honor your father and mother. And the young boy answers him back in verse 20. All these have I kept from my youth up, Matthew 19:20. Which lack I yet? And Jesus said unto them, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. I mean, God has to be first and foremost in our life. It cannot be anything else that can be ahead of God. My wife knows that she is second when it comes to God. I know in her life that I am second when it comes to, I wouldn't want it any other way. Amen. See, God has to become nucleus of our life, and everything has to evolve around God. God has to come first, else He will not be at all in our lives. Amen. Nothing can be more important than a work for God. You said, Brother Dave, we have to live in this life. You read my lips. Nothing can be more important than what God has for us to do. Amen. Nothing. Amen. Go ahead, praise Him. It says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had great possessions. You know, Jesus goes on and He says, because He said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into heaven, because that rich man is trusting in those riches. He's so wrapped up in those things of the world and so entangled. A lot of church people are so entangled in the world and the things of the world and the things of this life that it takes away from what God would have them to be doing, and they can't please God. Jesus said, how hard it is for those that trust in the riches to enter into the heaven. He said it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in. In other words, He said it's not impossible for a rich man. He just said it's difficult. It's hard. Why? Because that camel, when he's got all this luggage and baggage and world upon his back, and he's walking trying to get through this little sheep gate, that's the needle sheep gate, he can't fit. But if he'll humble himself and he'll get down, humble himself before God, if that's what we do, and we'll unload and cast all these burdens of the world, these things we think so important, and get down, we can get into the kingdom of heaven. We can get through that eye of a needle, amen? That's what it takes, my friends, and that's what it's going to take with me and you. Same difference. But when we entangle ourselves with the things of this world, it is difficult to follow the Lord. He said in 2 Timothy in the 2nd chapter verse 3, He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We don't entangle ourselves and get all wrapped up in this world. Amen? Hallelujah. What happened to Paul talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 10, he said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know, there's some people come to church today because they had something else to do. I don't know of another thing more important this morning than to be in the house of the Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? I just don't know anything more important Wednesday night to be here on Wednesday night. I don't know. Anything more important. I don't know anything. Now, I know sometimes we go on vacation. You go on vacation. That's understandable, you know. Sister Connie, don't get to shouting over there. But, I mean, look, I don't know anything more important. Do you? Boy, what kind of weak on the amens this morning? Are y'all awake? Yeah. Don't make me come out there now. Glory to God. I mean, can you imagine? Here's Peter and John and Andrew and James and Matthew and became followers of Christ, and we read about them as the 12 disciples. How honored they must have felt. We're to feel the same honor. He called us. And you're part of the church of the living God, and you're doing a work in the church, you ought to feel honored. You're following Jesus Christ, putting your rewards in heaven, and one of these days you're going to hear them words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I now make you ruler over many. Enter thou into life everlasting. Glory, hallelujah. First Timothy 6 and 9, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Drown men. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." That word devour means drown. He wants to drown. He wants to distract you and get you thinking over here and over here, over here. Just get you so much to do. Verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Not money, but the love of it. Then it becomes our God. "Which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, the fruit of the Spirit." We're talking about Wednesday night. "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Look at here, church. You're faithful, and the faithful ones in here, the ones that are following Christ, you have already professed a profession before many people, and people are watching your lives, and they see you following Christ. And if you live it right, they will follow you, and they will follow Christ too. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here. It's all part of the building of Christ. Amen. We're going on tonight talking about the church. And it talks about there in one part going from Ezekiel. And the church started off small, little, 120. And the church was born in the book of Acts with 120 people. Amen. And the first day that they hit the street, 3,000 souls got saved. Amen. He's building the church. Why? Because they're following the instructions of Christ. What was the instructions of Christ? "Go down to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high." But the church today is trying to do it without the power from on high. And we're trying to do it our way and what we want. But it's not what I want. It's what He wants. He's got to build the church that the gates of hell not prevail against it. Thank God for you that are here that put God first, following Christ, the backbone of the church. Thank God for every one of you. Thank God for all of you teachers and all you workers and cleaners and musicians and singers. Thank God for you that you're not using your talents out there in the world, but you use them in the kingdom of God. Thank God for you. Thank God for you tithers that tithe, and we got lights on, and we got cool, and I'm getting some prices on putting asphalt resurfacing out here now. That's a lot of money. Amen. So if you know somebody that does that work, help us out. Amen. It takes money. What's a church need with money? Well, you need money at home for. Help us, Lord. I don't preach on money often, do I? In fact, we just received the one offering on Sunday morning. You tell me another church. You just go and find me one out there somewhere. Say what? Ah, they only have church on Sunday morning. But let me tell you, if they could figure out how to get that tithe without having that service on Sunday morning, they'd cut that one out too. Glory. But the sad part, there'd be people that would send it in. Not to have to go. Ease their conscience. Listen. John 1:43. "The day following, Jesus would go forth to Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael." Sounds like us when we started following Christ. I remember the night my cousin got saved. He called me up on the phone that night. He said, "Guess what, Dave?" I said, "What?" He's over in Georgia, huh? He's 10 months younger than I am. Of course, can't look. Look at us and tell that, but anyhow, I'll just pick it. We grew up together. But he said, guess what, Dave? I said, what? I got saved tonight. Of course, on my end, it went silent. He said, you know what? I said, what? He said, we sicking the hounds on you, boy. You coming in next. That's what Philip went and found Nathaniel. See, if you get really saved, that's what you do. Come on. A preacher don't have to tell you to invite somebody to church. When you're really saved, you'll bring them. Hello, let me say that. Let me come down here and say it in case any of y'all want to fight. When you get really saved, the preacher don't have to coax you to bring people to church. When you get really saved, you'll be out there in the highways and byways compelling them to come in. Amen. Now, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Amen. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. I mean, that's what we need to tell people. You don't have to get in no big theology discussion. You say, well, man, what would you, well, why do you want me to come to church? What good could come in from church? Just come and see. Just come and see. Hey, in fact, is it next Sunday, the 25th? That's when that'd be a good time. See, if you don't get nothing out of the preaching, you get something out of the food back there in the back. Amen. So you can tell them, say, I guarantee you, you'll get something out of coming. See, if they don't get nothing out of here, they get it back there. You won't lie. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him and said unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? In other words, Nathanael said, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. It's kind of like Jeremiah. The Lord told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew you. God knows every one of us in here this morning. Whether we're saved or we're not, God knows where we at this morning. He was there when you was conceived in your mama's womb. And he was there when you was born. And he knows how many hairs is on your head. And he knows your life. And he knows if you're right with him or not. And he knows if you're part of the church or not. Man, he knows us. He said, I saw you sitting on the fig tree. Man, he ain't nowhere around. I saw you over there. Amen. And he says, Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of the Jew of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. What he was saying to him, he said, Nathanael, since you believe in me, not just the fact that you can understand I saw you under the fig tree, but I want to show you greater things than these. You might look back at some of the testimonies we've seen in here this morning and heard of what God done, but God has said, because you believe, I want to show you even greater than that. Can your faith grasp a hold of that this morning? I want to build my church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Will you allow me to build the church? Will you follow me? That's what God said, I want to do more. Psalms said that how Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God. We put limitations on God. We limit God by our lives, by our lack of following or trusting in Him. God wants to do so much more. Amen. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. John 12:26, it said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Amen. What excuse do we have today? I ask you, what excuse do you or people try to make to keep from being part of the church? Amen. Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter and verse 18. Jesus has sent an invitation to the supper. And they all with one consent begin to make excuses. And he said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. What is an excuse, Brother David? It is a reason wrapped up in a lie. I mean, you don't have to call and say, Brother David, a long spiel trying to find something. Just say, Brother David, I ain't going to be there. You know? Y'all, on the way out this morning, you don't have to shake my hand and say, Brother Dave, you didn't say nothing that drew me to the altar and I'm leaving here lost. All you say is, I didn't want to get saved today. The songs was enough to get people saved. Because there's going to be a meeting in the air one day, and there's victory in Jesus. Glory to God. I mean, look at this. Who in the right mind is going to buy a piece of ground without even seeing it? I mean, this is how stupid excuses are. I bought a piece of ground, and I need to go check it out, see if it's any good. Well, what kind of idiot would buy without seeing it? Well, I bought me 5 oxen. I need to go prove them. Well, who's going to buy them without looking at them first? Hello? Anybody here like that? Somebody got some Arizona beachfront property for sale here. The last one may have had kind of. I got a wife and I cannot come. She won't let me. It's like the 2 lions in heaven, you know, had signs up there. It said one lion had henpecked husbands and the other one had not henpecked. And boy, this lion with henpecked husbands was long line, henpecked husbands. And over here in this not henpecked, there was one little skinny, frail guy standing there, not henpecked. Went up to him and said, man, so whoa. Look at all these guys in this other line. Said, you stand over here. What you doing over here? He said, because my wife told me to stand here. I've got a wife and I can't come. That's why Paul said it's better not to marry, but it's better to marry than burn. I've actually heard some people say because Paul was a homosexual because he was against marriage. No, 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 no. Paul knew what a hindrance it'd be. But if you can't contain yourself, you're going to die in adultery. You better get married. Better to marry than burn. Amen. They all made excuses. What's an excuse? An excuse is a shun. They shun their calling, their responsibility. It means to depreciate. They depreciated their calling and put less value on the calling than the other stuff. Put more emphasis and more importance on the other stuff than following the Lord. Is that what we do? Do we do that too? You think about it. Amen. Some people might say, well, brother, what can I do in the kingdom of God? I'm ignorant and unlearned. Well, so you are. I didn't say you was. Look at Acts in the 4th chapter, verse 10. Look at a couple of ignorant, unlearned guys that Jesus found there. Fishermen. Fishermen was some of the most uneducated people around. I mean, it's amazing Jesus didn't go to the scribes and the Pharisees and the educated people to find his disciples, did he? He went down there to where them old boys was working. He didn't go up there where they was laying around in the temple. He went out there where people was actually working and doing something. Amen? And he found people that was doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen? And so here is Peter and John. In Acts the 4th chapter verse 10 it says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was at naught of ye builders, which is become head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. There's no other way. That's what they tell them. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were what? Unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I ask you, does people take knowledge that you have been with the Lord? And not only that, beholding the man which was healed, they could say nothing against it. Amen? You say, Brother Ava, I just don't know if I could do the things that the Lord would want me to do. I'm not an educated person. And look here, God looked down and probably got the least educated person to be your pastor. Probably most of y'all in here got a lot more education than I got. But God said, look, I'll take that old donkey and I'll make him a preacher. Huh? That old rooster. Mm-hmm. Donkey in numbers and rooster there at the Gospels, and I'll get him. You know why God chose me? It wasn't because I was an educated person or knowledgeable. It's because I got a big mouth. That's why He chooses preachers. It's not that I'm more intelligent than you and more anointed than you and oh godly and oh no, I got a big mouth. He said, I need somebody with a big mouth. Get David. See? Some of y'all got big mouths. I've seen you eat. Heavens, Lord, I got to get through this. I'm almost finished. Listen. 1 Corinthians 1:26. I want you to just look around and hear this thing. How many billionaires do we have in here this morning? You a billionaire? You a billionaire? Come here. No, I see your tithes hitting off of that. How many lawyers we have in here, doctors, and you know how many? I'm not saying they can't be saved. I'm just saying, you know, foresee your calling. Verse 26, 1 Corinthians 1:26. Put it up there, sister. For see your calling, brother, and how not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. What do you say? It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. See, I can't depend on an education to preach. I can't depend on you know, knowing all the right words to say and, you know, get the right thing to preach. I have to depend on the Spirit of God. Amen? I'm dependent on God. For see your calling. Think about your calling, brethren. Think about this church. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty. No. Think about the calling that Jesus said, follow me, Peter. Follow me, Andrew. They was not mighty. They was not wise men after the flesh. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen the weak things like David and Goliath. He didn't choose another big giant to fight a giant. He chose, look, the weak things of the world to confound them that are mighty. And the base things, Jesus wasn't born in a castle, but in a stable. Why? If he'd born in a castle, none of us has ever been in a castle. We couldn't understand castle living, but I can understand a stable. I've been there. He came to where we was at. And the base things, the things that are despised, hath God chosen, yea, things that are not to bring to naught, things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No flesh. And so often we say, we have so many limitations, Brother David, and we don't have much to do anything with. Oh, you're getting right where God wants you to be. Look at Gideon. There Israel was faced with 120,000 enemy coming against them. Gideon had 32,000 men, all he had. And he would say, what's 32,000 against 120? That ain't nothing. I don't know. We'll try it, but I don't know. We'll try it. God said, no, wait a minute, Gideon. Tell all the ones that's afraid and fearful to go home. Gideon said, huh? All y'all that's afraid and fearful, go home, you bunch of cowards. 22,000 went home. left him with 10,000. God, I don't know. 122. We'll try it, God. We'll try it. And God said, no, 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 no. He said, carry them down to the river. And all of them that gets down there and laps like a dog, send them home. Or gets down there with a face to the water. But those that gets their hand down like this and brings it up to their mouth, keep them, set them aside. 9,700 got down here like this. He said, you don't want them, Gideon. They ain't watching you. You need these. He's watching and praying. Huh? He said, take them. That left him 300 men that no flesh with glory. Can't nobody say wasn't God in that. That 300 men come against 120 and all of them slew one another when they separated with their lamps and the sword of Gideon and the Lord, sword of the Lord upon you. You read the story when you get home. It's in Judges. Amen. Glory to God. John 15 and 16, those come to instruments. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You didn't say, well, I think I'm going to go down one day and get saved one of these days. No, 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 it don't work that way. It's when God calls you. Well, one of these days, I know the Lord wants me to teach or the Lord wants me to preach. One of these days, I'm going to give in to it and do it. No, 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 no. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He said, brother, I don't know if I can. He said, and ordained. That means I have qualified you. I'll teach you. I'll give you everything you need. Amen. Here, my dad, when after he got saved, and down behind a little barn, had him a place in the broom sage field that he'd go and pray. And he was down there praying one day, and y'all have heard him testify to this. He had a little speech impediment. And he said, he was praying one day, and the Lord said, I want you to preach my word. Well, he heard some noise behind him. He thought it was a little rabbit hunter. He said, I wasn't going to stop praying for a little rabbit hunter, you know. Reckley came up and stood right beside him. He said, I want you to preach my word. My dad just talking to him. He said, Lord, you know I got this little speech impediment here. He said, I went into the lion's den with Daniel. I went into the fire furnace with the Hebrew boys. And I'll go into the pulpit with you. My dad said, you got your man. Whew. Got your man. How about it? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Amen. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Remember there in John in the 21st chapter, Jesus is about to take off and he knew he's going to have to leave the church with his disciples. Old Peter was old loudmouth. I guess if I had to be like any disciple, I guess it'd be old Peter. Old loudmouth David. He'd get in trouble with that old mouth sometime. David does too. In fact, I guess it was a lot of y'all like him, isn't it? Anyhow, Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, lovest thou or agape thou me? Peter said, yea, Lord. Like we do a lot of times when God asks us something, we don't take it serious. We just got to pass it off. Get something dealing with the heart. We think it's gas. Pass it off. Take some Tums or something. It's the Lord dealing with us. And he looked back at him and said, Peter, agape they thou me? Peter said, yea, Lord. Finally, Jesus looked back and said, Peter, filio me. Look it up. It's in your Bible. Filio me. That means, are you fond of me? See, agape means with all your heart, soul, mind. It's a godly love. with everything you got. Peter, do you love me with everything, every fiber of your being? I mean, I'm your number one. He just said, yeah, Lord. I could ask in here this morning, how many loves the Lord with all your heart? And everybody say, amen. Yeah. But do we? You sure the love we have for God is not a filial love? We're fond of Him. And when he told him this last time, filial, it got Peter's attention, and he said, yea, Lord, you know all things. In other words, he knew what Peter's heart answering back was. And it kind of ticked Peter a little bit because it was like the Lord was picking on him. And sometimes in mine and your life, and it seems like you might do more than anybody else in the church. And sometimes you say, well, you know, I seem to have to do everything. And it's like the Lord picking on you. And what Peter did, he said in verse 20 of the 21st chapter of John, he said, he turned about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved. It was John. John never calls his name in the whole book of John. He just says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter's looking at John. That's what he said. He's looking at John. And he says, Peter, seeing him, said unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do here? What you going to do with him, Lord? You're picking on me. What about him?
Right.
That's what we say sometimes. Lord, you're picking on me and you want me to know, what about them? What about them? And what about them? And what about them? Why ain't they doing something? What about them, Lord? Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thy me. In fact, sometimes when we are looking around and we're saying, well, I ain't doing nothing because they ain't doing nothing. If they're doing something, I'd do something. Well, they probably look at you saying the same thing. If they'd do something, I'd do something. They ain't doing nothing because you ain't doing nothing. But what if they sit there and never do anything? What has that got to do with you? So if my husband gets saved, I'd get saved. If my wife gets saved, I'd get saved. My neighbor, my friend, I'd get saved. What has that got to do with you? Follow thy me. Well, I got some friends and they don't believe in God. What's that got to do with you? I know some people that don't believe in the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in this and this. What's that got to do with you? Let God work in you. What are you following? Upon this rock I'll build my church. Matthew 16:18. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There's some people around this church that has some keys to this church. Not everyone in Somerville has keys to this church. I wouldn't trust everybody in Somerville with keys to this church. The Lord, can He trust you with the keys to the kingdom? Will you follow Him? Follow me. Just close your eyes right now. Imagine, just picture yourself down in that water that day. There's Peter and Andrew cleaning their nets. You're out there about knee deep water with them. It's you and Peter and Andrew. The Lord came by. And he just looked toward y'all's way. He didn't call no names. He just looked at them and said, follow me. Can you see Peter and Andrew start to let them old nets go and walk out of the water? What about you? Are you walking out with them? Are you walking out with them? Mm. when I ask you to stand just a minute, I want you to see them walking out of the water toward Jesus ahead of you. And I want you to start walking forward, and I want you to come. He's calling. He said, come and follow me. Come and follow me. You don't have to know where he's going. You don't know somebody. When you follow somebody, you don't have to know the way, because they are the way. Jesus is the way. You just have to trust him. He'll lead you into life more abundant. He'll lead you into a wonderful life. But you got to follow him. Are you ready this morning? You say, brother, I don't know anything about God, and I don't know anything about Jesus, or I don't know anything about that walk. I didn't either when I got saved, even though I brought it in church. I just trusted the Lord, and I live it day by day. Are you ready? Follow me. Here's old Peter and Andrew heading out of the water, headed toward Christ, or you will come. Here we go. Come on. Stand all over. Come on. Come on. Follow him.